Hello, gorgeous. It is yours truly, Lala Kent. We are fresh off of a weekend where we filmed the reunion, season 11 Vanderpump Rules reunion. We're fresh off of a weekend of me staying out until 1:30, which is a.m.
We had her out about.
And after the reunion, it seemed.
Yes, which is not like me at all. I usually go straight home after a reunion, but I was feeling relieved.
Can you give us anything? I know you can't give us much. Can you give us any word or how you felt after the reunion? Filming.
I can say that it was very, very, very intense.
Intense.
At the very end.
Okay.
It got very intense. And I've said on this podcast before, when I push things under the rug at some point, I say things that I can't come back from. And that happened at the finale of season 11.
Mm-hmm.
And that all is shown. It's going to be, I think people will really enjoy the reunion. It was just an intense one of the most intense I think I've ever experienced.
If you could say it's the same as another reunion.
It's not. Just say,
is that like, could you compare it to something?
What about compared to last year? If last year was a 9,
It's different.
Okay.
Because it's a rare occasion that the fourth wall is broken and that happens.
Okay.
Which I think the audience really likes when you break the fourth wall. I know I enjoy it when I watch
it.
Housewives. Like there was, I can't remember what season. But it was when Teresa and Melissa were getting along on Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought Danielle Staub back in. And she talks about things that happened. And I remember Teresa at this pool party being like, you guys can't air this. And Melissa's like, they're going to air it, Teresa. This is going on TV. And I just remember it being, I just find it really interesting when they break the fourth wall. It was intense in the moment. But I felt like I took a giant shit, and I felt extremely relieved when I left. So relieved that I was like, I feel like fucking partying a little bit.
Oh, she called me at 8:15
and said, "Let's go out."
Yeah, she
I said,
goes,
"Let's
what are you
go
doing?
Out, meet
I
us,
do something."
Yeah, let's go. I said, "I want a mini golf." Sheena said, "Do you want to go to the batting cages?" And I was like, "I just want to go home and like regroup and cry." And then after I got a good cry out, because I tend to cry when I'm frustrated, I was like, let's go like play mini golf. And then we attempted, it was like 11:30, we attempted to go to IHOP, but there was only one, there were like a lot of us. There were like 15 of us.
So fun.
And one chef.
And there was only one chef. So they were like, the food's going to take like an hour. Well, next door is this stellar, authentic as it gets, Mexican restaurant. And there's a DJ, and you can tell everyone who goes to this restaurant is a regular.
Okay.
Because they all got up and started dancing. They had these like little dance moves. The DJ would turn the music down and they would continue singing. It was, they had like their kids there. We were rocking 1:30 a.m.
1:30, it's open and you guys are eating and dancing.
Eating, dancing, celebrating our friend Bach's birthday.
Happy birthday, Bach.
Yes.
Aww.
And there were like little kids who were like sleeping while their
girl.
Parents were just having the best time ever.
There was one little girl and she was like, her head was just on the table the whole night. And then she would get the like,
the
she'd
courage,
get
to,
the
tell
courage
her mom.
To go up to her mom and go, can we go home? And her mom just dancing would go, one more.
Yeah.
And then just back to this.
I mean, the next day was Sunday, which was way chill. And then we went to brunch on Sunday.
That we did.
We did. We went home. Watched Hunger Games, but really watched the inside of our eyelids because we all fell asleep.
Oh, it was of course. A good
nap.
You were up
late. Yeah, it was great. Stopped at Chili's, got some queso to go, watched some 2020. I honestly, after this reunion, it was emotionally draining in the moment, and I probably obsessed for like maybe an hour after it,
mm-hmm.
and then just sheer relief and When you have a purge like I had, and then everyone gets to see it, and then you're asked if you would change anything, and you get to say, I stand by everything I said, it's like the truth is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking your
lifted.
Own, it's a weight lifted off, and I left going, I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. I'm free falling. violin. And I don't give a damn if anyone catches me either.
Free falling on her face. No, she's not. She's not.
No, I always land on my feet, bitch.
Yay. Okay, good. Great.
Let's talk about some of the headlines that producer John rolled in and talked about. They're on all ends, both ends of the spectrum, everything in between. Little dark, little fun. Let's talk about them.
Let's talk about them.
The first one is Dan Schneider with the Nickelodeon. Correct, producer John? Yeah?
That's a thumbs up.
And him, I guess there's like...
Documentary, Quiet on Set.
Quiet on Set, yes. And there's like a clip going around of him in a hot tub with Amanda Bynes.
I remember watching that on TV.
And it was weird then. And he's fully clothed. It's just a weird setup.
And like him working, I always think, oh, just him. He's like an EP or obviously someone powerful. I don't know his title. I haven't seen the doc. But him working himself into the sketch is weird. And maybe he didn't. Maybe someone was like, Dan, it'd be fun. But obviously part of him wants to be the star. And it just creeps me out. He's in a hot tub. He thinks it's funny. It's corny. He's with Amanda Bynes, a child who's in a bathing suit.
How old is Amanda at the time? Do you know?
She looks about
12 or I was about to 13. Say like 11. Yeah, in that.
Okay. Okay.
It was just weird. And it was like, it's not funny. There's so many things that Nickelodeon did that was like, with feet. They say Dan has an obsession with feet, this Dan Schneider guy, and he worked it into shows. And so there's like, there's weird shit that Nickelodeon does where I'm like, what is this? This is not funny.
Does or did?
Did. Maybe okay. Did. Oh, I don't know. I haven't watched Nickelodeon in forever.
You mean you don't go home after work and just turn it on?
Turn on SpongeBob?
I loved Nickelodeon so much.
And Dan Schneider denies.
Oh, he denies.
Nick Child actor claims from Quiet on Set. Let me just say this.
Let's hear it.
On what planet? Okay. It's like, we all know the drill. The accusations come out.
Yeah.
And the person accused of these things denies. Like, what do you think he's going to say? Like, yep, all true. Every single word is true.
Like, what?
Take me away.
Cling, cling, bitch.
Take me away.
It's like, can we just like stop giving them a platform to deny?
Right.
Yeah,
I agree.
But then again, what if none of it's true? I don't know. I'm just here reading the headlines, delivering like, the news.
And look.
Allegedly, this is going on.
You're welcome. Your number one news source. Give them Lala Podcast, Lala Kent, ladies and gentlemen. Delivering the news.
No, but it is. It's like he staunchly denies. It's like, oh, suck a dick.
He probably did.
Fuck you. Anyway. Moving on, Madonna calls out sitting fan at her concert, who ends up being in a wheelchair, by the way.
But why was she sitting?
No, but then she goes over to the stage and looks and says, like, oh, my gosh, like, that was not very PC of me. I'm so happy that you came to the show.
Right.
And the fan who was in the wheelchair was, like, totally fine about it. She was like, hey, there are people that are in wheelchairs that can stand up. Maybe she just didn't know.
Frauds.
That's a fan.
You know,
that's a fan.
And I think we should learn something from both of these people, Madonna and the diehard fan. Let's maybe be a little bit more conscious of what we say.
Okay.
Unless you're filming a reality show.
Then
say whatever.
Go with their fucking throat.
But just like maybe if you see someone sitting at your concert, maybe like don't call them out and let's maybe approach to see maybe there's a reason. But also really a fan of this fan.
Me too.
For being like, you know what? There wasn't ill intent behind it.
Yeah.
Like she wasn't trying to be a dick. She wanted everyone to have fun. And she was probably thinking like, oh my gosh, there's someone who's not really having that much fun.
Yeah.
And what do? We always focus on, we see hundreds of thousands of people standing, but the one person who isn't, let's fixate on them.
Right.
You know, the
right.
One negative comment, we always fixate on that.
Right. In news that is similar, some artists just, oh, Miranda Lambert. Mm. Oh, this was this past year. I don't know when this was. Now I'm
it's
delivering
news
the
to
news.
To me and us.
But
so
she basically called out fans for having their phones out at her concert. And she said like, which, okay, on one end, I understand. She's at the age where she remembers being at concerts, enjoying them without filming every 2 seconds. But also, it's like, let the fans do what they want. They're at
their concert.
They paid
to be here.
They paid to be here.
I kind of agree with her.
Do you?
Yeah, I went to Rolling Loud on Thursday to see Kanye. And I didn't have my phone out. I'm just in the experience, and all I see is everybody else's phone.
Well, they were hoping he would say something stupid.
Like,
and
an idiot, to like TMZ the idiot first. He is.
Well, no, it was a concert, so he's just up there just singing. Oh, but it's like, at what point? Yeah. Well,
did Northwest make an appearance?
Yeah, and it was
no dark. Way.
It was called a listening party. Okay. There was no mics, so they just played music.
Oh,
and they just like danced around.
But North was there.
North was there. We don't know if Kanye was there because
what?
Well, here's the thing. He's brilliant. He always wears a black mask.
Oh, he just send
so
anyone.
So he can
in.
Send anyone.
That looks like his body.
Yeah,
type.
And if you go
honestly,
back and watch
though,
it,
I
was watching it with Mo.
I truly don't think. He would send Northwest there and not be there.
But here's the crazy thing. I was watching it with Mo, Sick, and Bach, and we were all thinking, like, that the way that he was interacting with North, we were like, that's it didn't seem like a father daughter. Like,
okay, so maybe he didn't. Was this the same? This wasn't the listening party that Bianca and Kim were at, right?
I don't know. It was Rolling Loud first night.
I don't know. I can't remember. But they were seen together. And people were giving Kim a lot of props that, like, she really does care about her kids and whatever she feels is in their best interest. It's a quality I admire.
Love that.
But yes. Back to it. I enjoyed watching North up there.
You
and,
did?
Yeah, without my phone out. And here's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
To everybody who's videoing, who are you showing it to?
Easton, those are called memories that sometimes you just keep for yourself. Do you know how many times I go back and look at videos from when Elton John performed at Dodger Stadium, his last concert he will ever perform in America.
And that's a very different...
It's not, but it's not different because even if it wasn't his last concert, there are people where they're like, I saved to go to this concert. I don't know that I'll ever see Miranda Lambert in concert again. I don't know that I'll ever see Kanye West at a listening party again. There's a reason why there's the double-edged sword of like, yes, it takes you out of the moment, but how beautiful that I can go back and relive a moment that I'm never going to get again.
That's true. Here's how you do it because it's been done before in front of me and it was beautiful. Boys Like Girls did it when we were young. I feel like producer John was there. Everyone had their phones out. They started singing their hit. They sang it, first verse, chorus. They stopped and they go, okay, great, guys. Everyone got the video. Can we all put our phones down now and live in the moment? Just for this one
that.
Song.
I do like that, too.
And it was great.
Yeah.
We got our videos of the song, and then we moved on.
And now
on.
You're going to enjoy the moment.
Yes.
I'm very in-the-moment type guy.
Well, I am, too. And a lot of times I'm like, damn it. How did I not just capture that?
Right.
You know?
It is a double-edged sword.
But there's nothing like the memory in your head.
That's true.
It's pretty untouchable.
Well, that's how I'm...
Sometimes I watch it back, and I'm like... Oh man, it was much better live.
In my head, and I'm not going to do that.
Unless you lose the memories like me slowly. I'm losing the memories.
No, I'm ADD. I forget
That's
everything.
That's the jiu-jitsu. So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now. And anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part, zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold, and that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now, so get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code LALA at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/LALA and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Okay, real quick. Okay. Let's talk about this. Bruno Mars, $50 million in gambling debt to MGM. A source says, allegedly, MGM basically owns him now.
Makes me sick. Pay them off, because they do own you until you...
Well, and that freaks me out because, like, gambling debts...
Scary.
Scary.
But now we know. If anything ever happens to Bruno, Mars... MGM, we're coming.
If anything ever happens to Bruno, Mars. How do you they sent him to Mars. Exactly what they did. Because they could afford it. $50 million, I'm sure they could drop him right off on Mars. Bye.
$50 million. How do you even get in that much debt?
I mean, I know gamblers, yeah. And it's very easy to get into debt. In fact, I'm going and playing in a poker tournament in May.
Okay.
And I don't like losing money. Mm-mm. I'm not a gambler. But I'm sitting here going, like, this is going to be a lot of fun because I've heard it's a lot of fun. But I'm interested to just be back in that environment because I feel like a lot of these gamblers sit at the poker tables and that's where they lose most of their money.
Yeah, probably.
Or blackjack, maybe.
So all of it.
What do you do for it? Do you set aside a certain amount of money and you're like, this is how much I'm bringing in?
I'm not sure how it works.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh. Wait, I didn't what? Know. Like, okay. If
how do you gamble?
How do you gamble without being in insane debt? Like a normal person.
Oh, well, here's that. Then that's the one thing. Usually there's buy-in. So he could have had like two games that were like $5 million buy-in. So now you're already in debt $10 million.
That's very true. Ooh. Yeah. That's why I just want to play with like chips.
Yeah.
Well, you still have to buy those.
No, but just like in a room with family members.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like not
I was
a real
about to
game.
Say, I don't know who's giving you them, but you still got to put paper down to get
no,
them.
No, I'm saying let's abort the casino and let's just play in the room.
Agreed.
$5 buy-in.
I'd like
I'm
to
sure
play,
those exist too.
Yeah, with just chips, like edible chips and food and stuff. That's what I'll play with. That's what I'll play with. I'm not trying to spend money. I'll play with $20.
You get the whole bag of Cadbury Easter eggs. Okay. What did you want to talk about, Jess, the headline that you saw?
You read a headline, Law, about rappers or something.
Oh, Dr. Dre says Eminem is untouchable on the mic and that he may catch backlash for saying that because he's a white boy, but he stands by what he says.
I don't agree, and it makes my heart. I love Eminem. I love Eminem. But we've got Kendrick. We've got Twista. We've got, if he's talking about just the speed and the flow.
I don't think it's
logic.
The speed and the flow. No, I think it's what he's saying, what he talks about.
Lyrically?
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, I will put K-Dot up there. Uh-huh. But lyrically, how Eminem can put things together is I've never heard it done in any other artist.
Logic.
Logic is good. I will say Logic is good.
And his
I actually really
are
like
deep.
They are. But there's something about how Eminem can like fluctuate different words to rhyme with a word that didn't rhyme. Do you get what I'm saying? Like all he does is read the dictionary. I don't know if you guys know that. Eminem just reads the dictionary.
Yeah, he seems to me to be a very intelligent rapper.
He takes his rap career like it's work. He goes in the studio at 9, he leaves at 5.
See, that's amazing. Yeah. I think Kendrick is a poet. What do you think about this? Because you love Tupac. We know this. Do you think this is an accurate statement?
I wouldn't go as far as to say he's untouchable on the mic.
Do you think best rapper alive? Or not alive, best rapper.
I would say best rapper alive because if you were to go at Eminem, you can go at him. But if you were to do a freestyle, he's going to take you out at any
That's
point.
That's the thing. That's like, what we have to talk about.
When you just face to face, he's going to rip you up. If you have like a song that you're going to beef
but
with him, you can go home for 2 months and try to think about what you can go at.
But
he can
that's
just do it
why he
is the best.
Right. And that's why Dr. Dre was like, oh, shit, I'm
Nobody
taking a chance on this guy. Because you don't even have to send him home to, like, work on material.
He just does
it right there.
So it's the freestyle aspect.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what's kind of being taken away in the art of rapping. Mm-hmm. Is you no longer really have to be great at freestyling. And like Beyonce said, no one puts out bodies of work anymore. It's singles that you just feed to streaming platforms. Mm-hmm. And I think the perfect example for people today to see is Cardi B has not put out an album since 2018, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. So it's been like where, singles?
Bodak Yellow came out. It's all just been singles, which is amazing. But back in the day, without putting out an album, you become,
you don't have anything.
Since it's 2024, you become irrelevant.
Right.
I remember it was you would put out an EP and then you would put out your album. You dropped an album a year and you dropped an EP a year. That's what like Wayne was doing and everybody when I was growing up in like high school. And then once the streaming, like Soulja Boy, in my opinion, kind of revamped the way music went because he went digital with it.
Mm.
Soulja Boy, tell him
to go digital. Mm-hmm. And he told him.
He told him.
He tell him. But yeah,
he,
nobody
he
can touch him on the
he
mic.
He told him. He certainly did. I remember when the song came out and we went to a party at like a very prominent name, okay, yeah. Politician type shit. Ginormous house. We're talking probably 30,000 square feet, maybe bigger.
Maybe bigger. The greatest thing is we
listening
walked into
to that
house.
Song over and over and over again. Like it was the only song that existed on the planet.
But the dad's name wasn't it Rich or one of the names?
Yeah, that was the kid.
So there was a kid named Rich, and he introduced himself to my dad, and he goes, "Hey, I'm Rich."
And my dad.
And my dad goes, "I thought he was just being a fucking asshole."
Hi, I'm Rich. I know, buddy. Now I'm standing in your house, asshole. That's hilarious. Soulja Boy opened, or Kyle, when he was a DJ, opened for Soulja Boy, and
That's legit.
Well, right? He opened for like Lil Jon and the.
Why
or no,
isn't
Ying
he
Ying
still
Twist.
Doing this?
He
Lil Jon and the East
fun.
Side Boys with me.
Hey,
and
hey.
We all about to see ass and titties. So bring yourself over here, ho, and let me see you get low if you want that dough.
Now take it to the floor. To the floor.
If your ass want to act, you can keep your ass where you at.
Hey, millennial anthem. Millennial anthem.
Wow. But life is so fun.
Life
is it
is
not?
Fun. Life is fun. But the point to that was not to brag about Kyle opening. It was everyone booed Soulja Boy because Soulja Boy came on. He was fucked up. And he didn't tell him.
He didn't tell him.
And he said, he yelled stuff at the crowd, which I won't say here because trigger warning. But he basically had to do with violence and it had to do with weapons. And he told the crowd he was going to like, they booed him. And he was like, oh, blah, 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 all of you.
Oh,
and
everyone Soulja was Boy. Like,
we'll blah, blah, oh, you back.
Oh, we'll blah, blah, you back.
No, we're not blah, blahing anything. We just want to listen to yours. Crank them.
Yeah. So he did tell him, but not in the way that we
want to be told. Yeah. Okay. All fun news. Very quickly, there's not much to say about this. Gypsy Rose is taking advice from her parole officer. Hey. You know, she's the one that murdered her mom with her boyfriend. Yeah. She's getting off socials because her parole officer thinks that that's probably best. And I have to say that is probably best.
Okay.
It's a rare occasion that you're convicted of murder and you get out to see the light of day again. So right. Let's not risk it. Your mom's an asshole. You're getting a second chance at life.
So let's not be an asshole.
Yeah, but I think that's a smart decision. You don't have to listen to your parole officer, but I appreciate it when you do.
Yes, Gypsy Rose, be thankful for that. How nice would it be, Law, if someone said, Lala, you have to get off socials. Don't ever. Wouldn't you be like, done?
Hand her phone right over.
Done.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd be like, okay.
Yes, I would.
If someone told me that, I'd be like,
you know what, though? I've been so good at socials. Yeah. I don't scroll. I post and I get off. I think that big chunk of time that I was off socials kind of set me up
to
not.
Good.
Yeah. I redownloaded Candy Crush, which has been awesome.
There it is.
Quick story, which when I lose, I get frustrated. So I only try
so
two more times.
It.
No, I don't buy. No. Money is precious.
We're not gambling.
So Easton, why don't you tell them the sad story about the squirrel and then we'll venture into Vanderpump Rules.
Oh my goodness. So I just learned more today that it was a nest, Lisa said.
Is my heart going to be broken?
Your heart's going to be broken.
It's going to break into a million pieces.
I dry heaved. It was the worst. So Law in her home has a giant palm tree that's what? 4 stories high?
It's probably taller. It's very, very tall.
It's huge.
Tall.
So, three squirrels in a nest. It's a little windy. I'm outside just hanging out, playing basketball, and I just see something falling out of the tree.
Mm.
And it hits the wire and then the top of the fence.
No,
and
when it's I tell not you, funny. It's devastating.
And it like no, a good is... smack on the fence. And then I just run over and it.
I can't believe she's laughing. I feel like I'm going to sob my eyes out.
No, I'm so sorry. Keep telling me. Keep telling me.
And now it's like, fucking, it's, I don't, it's not, it's pretty much dying. It's broken all its limbs. It's like scooting away. It's,
are you kidding me?
No. And
did you guys?
Yeah, we got it. Yeah. So I see it. It's struggling. I'm going to dry heave. So Landon and I, like, they can't do it. So we go out, we get a dustpan and a bag, and it's
because you don't know if he could bite or if they have rabies.
Yes.
So we put him in a pat, like in a dustpan. We put him in a box with like a blanket with water. We put some nuts in there, and he drank a little. And
he didn't drink any, did he? Did you watch him drink?
Yeah, Landon refilled his water. And he moved a couple of times in the box, and nuts were missing.
How small was he?
I doubt that. I really highly doubt that.
Well, we don't know if he like flipped him out because he was.
He very well could have.
Was he a baby or a dog?
Yeah.
I Googled and he was between 7 and 12 weeks.
Was he struggling?
It was.
It was hard. It was to the point where like I wanted to kill him to put him out.
No. But we obviously did not do that.
But like that's how I felt.
But I texted my neighbor and I said, we have a baby squirrel. Do you know of like a wildlife place that I can call to maybe help him? And at that point, the place had closed. So she said, I have two squirrels in my yard as well. So they probably all fell out of the nest.
All of them fell.
And her two fell straight to the ground.
So they're
fine.
Oh, fine.
In fact, her gardener today put them back into a tree because we have a stucco wall that they couldn't climb up. My squirrel
hit the stucco wall.
It was like...
Did you see that at all on the camera?
No, but last night, like we built a box and I picked him up. I went to Target and got like heavy duty gloves and I put him in the box with a sweatshirt. So it's like a material that his nails wouldn't snag when he moved around. And I put water in there and nuts. And then this morning.
Oh,
wow. Did he die? Was he
did you go check?
Was he passed away this morning? Or do you, so you don't know when he may have passed. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I knew he was struggling. And obviously, it's like a horse, you know? You don't want him to struggle. You put him down. There's things that you do. And like, I was watching him in like fetal position. He was like struggling to breathe. His little eyes. No, I'm choked up. No.
Can I have?
It sucked watching. And when I tell you, like, the sound his probably head made, like, yeah, I dry heaved. Like, I couldn't do it.
You guys, for anyone who goes through this, isn't there someone you can call, like a wildlife vet?
Yeah, and I was gonna, they were closed by when I called.
Okay.
And so I tried to make him as comfortable as I could.
Oh.
And I Googled, like, what to do, because on their website, they tell you, like, do not handle bats. Here's what you do with an owl. Here's what you do. And it, like, goes through all these animals that are wild. And I saw a squirrel, and they said exactly how to handle them. And then to put a heating pad on low under half the box. So I did that, and I got him really cozy. And then I was going to call this morning. But when I went out there... He had his, like, little hands like this, and he just wasn't breathing anymore. But he looked very peaceful, and I was beyond traumatized. And Ocean wanted to see, and she was so cute, you guys.
Why? What'd she do?
She said, maybe if we show him my princess shoes. And I was like, baby, he's in heaven. I was like, we have to tell him to rest in peace. And she was like, this is so sad. Rest in peace. She like my
Did
daughter
she see
has,
him
like,
when he was alive?
No.
Okay.
My daughter is like an old, like the things that she thinks about. Like I picked her up from the other house this morning and we're driving and I'll just name the nanny Bianca.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I didn't say goodbye to Bianca. Mm. And I was like, it's okay, baby. You're going to see her soon. And she goes, But I needed to say goodbye to Bianca. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot.
Oh, and sweet, I'm like, it's baby. Fine.
Like, you're gonna see her soon. Like, she's just very, she's a
very,
very smart and intelligent child. So she.
And she loves
was very
animals.
Cute.
What an angel. Really quick, back to the squirrel. Do you think if you guys, just because I'm curious, if you would have taken it to a vet, they don't take care of those,
they
right?
would have put, they would have put him down. I think he okay. was, I think there was a lot of internal bleeding okay. happening. He couldn't open his eyes. I think there was like brain damage, internal bleeding. It was absolutely horrific and traumatizing. And I hope that he died in peace. He looked very peaceful this morning. And I would hold him in my glove and like kind of, you know, yeah. let him know, like, and he opened his eye a tiny bit last night. And I'm like, he could, maybe he just needs like some rest. Yeah. But no.
He could have passed under a cold bush if you guys didn't do that. I'm sure he passed peacefully. It was very, it sounds like you guys did everything you could.
You looked out for the little guy.
You looked out for him. And let me clarify, I had never heard the story. So I didn't know where it was going. Two things. Number one, I laughed because I did not know that was the squirrel that was going to get killed.
I will say,
I thought he was going to say it flipped through the air and then kept running. And I was like, oh my God, the thought of a squirrel like flipping through the air. And number two, I told you guys this. I laugh sometimes. Sometimes I think and I get uncomfortable and I go, what's the worst thing I could do in this moment? Laugh. And then I laugh. And that happens. I've done it at funerals. It's fucked up.
No.
It's fucked up.
That's how you express. If you don't laugh, you cry.
Yeah. That's true.
And okay. we cried for you, so don't worry about
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you for that.
So there's that devastating story. I feel good about what we did yesterday.
Yeah, good for you guys.
With the squirrel.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Do we want to bust into, what's it called?
Vanderpump Rules?
Yeah.
Yes. My question, really quick, before we get into the episode, jumping to the end, is I saw Jax. Now, what we watched, because, you know, we see the episode a day before, so we can talk about it. I had assumed we would follow Jax into the Valley, and then it would go into the Valley premiere like Sheena did. But that's not what happened. But I'm assuming we go right into the Valley episode, right, Law?
What's going to happen is now the Valley will air right after Vanderpump Rules. So I'm sure after Jax left,
okay,
he had cameras in his car
and now
and
going
followed
to the
him home to his house where he talks to Brittany about what it was like. And now we're introduced to. Can I tell you what's weird?
Huh?
Is the after show now includes people from the Valley and to see people who like I know but like don't really know that well like weigh in on my pregnancy. I'm like, this is weird. This is so weird.
Because we're recording this Monday, have you seen the Valley premiere?
No.
You haven't?
No.
So you'll be seeing it with everyone else.
I'll be seeing it with everyone else. Yep.
This is exciting.
I'm excited. It should
it's really good. I'm excited.
The trailer was amazing.
Right?
Was it? I didn't see it.
Oh.
I didn't see the trailer.
It was,
but it was good?
Yeah.
Good. I love that.
Do you want to jump in?
Let's jump in. I'm letting you guys this whole entire season kind of run the Vanderpump segment. Ask the questions. Do your thing.
Fun. Okay.
Fun.
Riveting.
Fun. Easton, interrupt me. I'm just going off my notes. But the first thing I wrote down is the scene with you and Katie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the very first. Lala says she's
you
not
say
good.
That like when you and the first scene is you and
when
Katie
she says, how are you? And I say, I'm not good. Yes.
Perfect. I'm just trying.
Yeah. We're at the Henry. Kay.
This went in a direction I honestly didn't think it was going to go in. I thought you guys were going to be at each other. How did you feel? Do you remember sort of what you expected in that scene versus how it went? Did you expect her to come at you and or did you expect it to be as peaceful and productive as it was?
I didn't know what to expect.
Oh, you just
I knew that my guard was down and I wasn't about to have a confrontation. As you guys know, I tried to come from a place of just like my version of what I felt was logic. I tried to come from a place of compassion. Of course, the pop-off still lives in my DNA. But remember, at this point in time, I was having discussions with California Cryobank. I was like literally thinking of the timeline, prepping my body, prepping my mind to get pregnant and carry a child, right? So for me, I was like, I need my guard down. I don't want to fight with anybody. Of course, you guys see tension this season and I come out of pocket. But ultimately, I was like, I don't want it. I don't have it in me. You guys saw me on the boat with Tom where he was like, he thought I was coming for him. And I said, I'm tired. I'm so tired. I was tired. I'm tired now, mostly because I am pregnant now. But it was just, I don't have it in me. So like, if you want to fight, let's pick this up in like late fall of 2024. Because I'm not, well, now I'm thinking that. But I was just like, I don't have it in me this season. Mm. And hopefully, like, I'm still going to have tough conversations. But I'm not looking to rip anyone's head off.
Yeah.
You know, I've had time to process. So I was coming in very open-minded with an open heart. And if she wanted to pop off, then maybe I could have gone there. But I was feeling more sensitive than anything. Well, and she ordered the sparkling water, and that's the one way to butter me up.
It was sweet. It was sweet. You asked her to be softer. I don't know. It was just a really sweet
I thought it was a sweet scene, too.
And productive.
Yeah.
It's great. So I wrote, the next is the, it was the pool party at Sandoval's.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the girls.
When he's in the pool?
Yes, when he's in the pools. And the editing was hilarious because it was so awkward. Do you remember that?
So awkward.
The way he was even standing in the pool.
Yeah, and he's talking to the girls. And I get the edit, bravo to the editors once again. Because like, and he says in his confessional, he's like, I'm trying to get back out there, but I haven't done this in so long. Well, you kind of have, but.
Yeah, you're done.
It's different when you're actually single, right? It's different dating and fucking when you're actually allowed to do it. You know, right? When you actually should be.
Doing it
the right way is a little funky for him.
Exactly.
We could tell.
Yeah.
You had no idea. And for him to be like, and Ariana, yeah, that's my ex. It's like, why are we bringing that up?
I want to talk about the girls. He met them at...
Sir, I think, right?
Sir. Like, we know they know, right?
Of course they
know. Okay. Do we think... I'm going to ask the BTS questions. You tell me what I can't ask. They know they're about to be filmed because there's cameras there.
Of course.
Okay.
I'm sure Tom said, I'm having a birthday thing just so you know it's going to be filmed. Because without their consent, they can't come to the party. We're filming and we're not about to put money into blurring your face, bitch.
Right. Do you think, because they did act a little clueless, do you think that was editing and they were like, oh yeah, we know, or because you were not there, but do you think that was editing or do you think it was like they tried to pretend like, oh, we don't know?
I'm going to go off and say they probably pretended they didn't know.
You think?
Yes.
100%.
Yes. Yeah. If you're at Sir...
You know.
You're not there for the food.
That's what I'm saying. Right? You're
you know,
sure.
You're going there because it's Sir, and then you're going to dig the food and come back. But come on.
Yeah. Girlies, if you want to DM me and let me know if you listen to the Give Them Lala podcast, which why wouldn't you?
Yeah, right.
Let us know if you
they
knew.
They do. If they're going to Sir, they're listening.
However, even though he is, like, let's just go off of what he said. He's new to it. We can, like, go into you're not new about it, but, like, I'm over Scandoval, all the shit, whatever. Let's just say, like, that did resonate with me. When you're new to it, it is so hard. Like, what do you talk about? And he wasn't drinking at the time either, no. He says.
Yeah.
So you're going into it and you're like, what do I talk about with you? And you're at this house, which is very awkward because, like, I share it with my not girlfriend.
With my roommate.
With my not live-in girlfriend. You know, it's like
I have a roommate
so
that
awkward.
Hates me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
But it was an awkward scene.
It was very awkward.
I'm going to move on to, this is going to be fun. Sandoval's assistant, Anne.
Yeah.
Never met her, by the way. She seems like a sweetie. I watch her, and I want to say one thing. Lala has never, I got hired on as her assistant. We've done all the things. She's never asked me to do what Anne does. I've never cleaned. I've never been the housekeeper. I would have been so open to it. I just never have. Like, we pick up stuff together after a certain event or whatever. What do you think when you see this relationship? Like, Anne, do you ever, because part of me was like, damn, I bet Lala looks at Anne and goes, I wish Jessica would clean around the house.
No. We have a Gigi.
I don't wish that at all.
Okay, that's what I mean.
If you have time to clean my house, I don't have enough going on to have an assistant.
Oh, no. Okay.
You know?
Yes, I saw. She seems very sweet and nice.
If you have time to mediate between me and my ex,
yeah,
I don't have enough going on for you to be an assistant. All right?
Like,
your job was laid out very clear.
Yeah.
Did you ever have to clean my breast pump?
No, I never cleaned. In Lawless, talking about the interview that was aired season 9, she said, you may have to clean my breast pump. I never had to, and I was open to it.
You know, I almost let Jessica go her first day before she arrived, because I was like, what am I supposed to have her do? Do I even need an assistant? Like, and she said, how have you been doing this by yourself? And I'm like, well, not well. Not well, bitch.
I showed up in the
constantly being critiqued at what I've done wrong with my posts and all of it.
The second I got Lala's email list of people to reach out to, and I reached out to everyone, introduced myself, send me emails your way, we're catching Lala up, it was an influx. And I was like, how have you been doing this? This is crazy. It was crazy. But we got it together.
You know, when we were filming,
yeah,
and Anne came into the mix, and Ariana and Katie, they were like, you know, Lala, you know what an assistant does. Like, is this normal? And I'm like, no. I mean, I think if you need someone to clean your was it stated in the job description?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, when he hired her, did he say, you're going to be cleaning the house as well?
Right.
Because if it was stated, and he claims, I told her, like, you're going to clean up after me for parties. So maybe she knew the job description, and she still signed up. And she looks thrilled about life.
Well, was it? Wait, is that? She seems happy.
She seems very happy.
She is more of a mom role.
I don't know about that. Poor
she doesn't?
She seems like
I think she's just getting through the day.
Ball of sunshine.
Oh, she is?
And I see you. You're doing
and
well.
I see you. Do you think she goes home and cries?
No, she goes home and gets really fucking high, she said.
Hell yeah, Anne.
I love her.
What a vibe.
Now when I see her, I'm like, oh yeah.
Keep putting that mask on, baby. You're getting
blunt,
through the day.
Doobie. Where we at, Anne?
Good for her. Good for her. Okay. We are going to go to Sheena and Ariana conversation. And
okay.
It was with, it was about Sheena basically set this thing up for Ariana where she goes, a few years down the road, if Sandoval has worked on himself and we become friends, how are you going to feel? And Ariana says in her confessional, I feel like Sheena's setting me up for, you know, her to become friends with Sandoval again. And so here's my question.
Yeah.
And you tell me if you can or can't. Are they, how is the Sandoval thing? Are they friends? Is Ariana holding the same energy, or is this something we're going to see play out? Because in this scene, it seemed like Ariana was not. Ever, she basically told Sheena, I would be like, watch your back. And I'm like, years down the road, if he's done work, I don't know. It just made me be like, really?
The rate we're going, I could see her.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Is letting go happening at all? Is indifference setting him? I don't know.
Well, will we see it? Maybe we'll see it play out. I guess we'll, or we'll see it at the reunion. Maybe? Talk?
I just wish Sheena would just move according to how she feels.
Okay.
And not ask for permission. Like, hey, just so you know, kind of like how James is moving.
Mm-hmm.
James is like, I got your back, Ariana. And then he goes and has dinner because he's a grown-ass man with whoever he wants to fucking go have dinner with.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the thing that's happening with Sheena, and people are saying a lot of things about her. And let me tell you something. Anybody who actually gets to meet Sheena, you're gonna pick Sheena.
Mm-hmm.
She's fun. Mm-hmm. She smiles. She's light energy. You're going to have a heyday with Sheena. So you can talk about her being a flip-flopper all day. It doesn't matter. I don't give a fuck what anyone watches. In real life, cameras down, she doesn't play to the audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sheena struggles with an internal battle at all times. How do I make sure you're happy? You're happy. The audience likes me, but I still get to make myself happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what you get. This is what you get when someone tries to play that way. Is you got a bunch of people unhappy, including Sheena. I wish she just would have, you know, let it be. I got your back, Ariana. I will always choose you if it comes down to it. But like, I'm going to kick it with him if I feel like.
Yeah.
Because I'm a grown adult. And if that puts a wedge in our friendship, then I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
to
I
be
hear
honest,
you.
It's such a sticky situation. I know Sheena, and Sheena's super fucking fun. And let me tell you something. This bitch invited 150 people to Summer Moon's second birthday people, and 150 people came.
Second birthday people, you said.
Second birthday party. And 150 people came.
What?
Yes.
Good for she is.
People fuck hard with Sheena.
Yeah. Good for her.
So the audience may not fuck with her, but if the audience got to meet her, let me tell you, you would pick her.
Well, I think the audience did fuck with her this episode only because then we move into the Belmont where I was like, bravo, Sheena. She basically talks to Sandoval and says, like, take accountability. And it was a great, obviously, I'm not doing it justice, but she was great. And then he wasn't. He was being a little bitch boy, and she moved on, and she was like, you know what, I'm done, and she walked away.
Yeah.
But that brings me into, because I do want you, I want to hear both of your opinions on the Sheena Brock nanny combo. Brock's frustrated.
Okay.
He wants a nanny. He wants a regular schedule. Sheena states the obvious and says, we don't have a regular schedule. How do you feel about this? Because you're about to bring another baby into the world.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it to have a nanny if you can afford it? I know it's a luxury, but if you can, to have a nanny, to have a regular schedule for your kids. Because I feel like for moms, it's a constant push and pull of like, how long do I have the nanny? Is it me? Like, should I be with my kid more? If you're able to get a nanny, how crucial do you think it is? And I'm sure it depends on families, but I want your thoughts.
Well, I think it's incredibly important for Brock and Sheena to get a nanny. Because first of all, Erica's incredible, but the difference between Erica and my mama lives with me,
mm-hmm.
right? So if I have to go and work, my mom is there, right? There's no scheduling that has to happen with my mom. Like, scheduling has to happen with Erica, Sheena's mom.
Right.
Now, it's imperative, I think, that they get a nanny that's more on a consistent basis because Sheena works and Brock wants to go make something happen in his career. So I know the struggles that Sheena has, and having Erica is such a blessing, but to let some air out of the tires, I think that they need to hire someone where it's more stability, consistency, and it's just kind of like nothing's up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, well, I thought that you were going to take summer today and now I got to call my mom because I have to go do this. It's just like, here's the schedule. This is when the nanny's showing up. Tomorrow, my mom has her. And that way, Sheena can, you know, she struggles a lot. So it's like something has to give where, like, it's you don't have to think about it. You've already got enough to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it seems like for Ocean, because you guys are so consistent with her schedule, with Gigi and you, that it works. Like, the consistency, while you guys are consistent, it seems like that works. So I see where Brock's coming from.
It does work, but at the same time, like, I would like to move my mom into a different position and have her manage more of, like, the office situation, because we do a lot of things in the office, and I need someone who's kind of boots on the ground in the office at all times, taking care of shit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to move her there and then bring on a nanny. So I called Stassi and I was like, what agency did you go through? Because I need to start, you know, I'm having a baby in like a few months.
That's crazy town.
Yeah. So Ocean's going to start school, and then I need someone to come in, and my mom can't take care of a newborn. My mom's 63.
Well, newborns, you know? Are.
And it's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't expect my mom to be like, take care of this newborn, pick Ocean up from school. Now you've got a toddler and a newborn. Like, I need someone who's, like, a champion in childcare.
Right. And you're going to pump again. I know we're going into baby, but you're going to pump again if you can, right? Or, I'm sorry, breastfeed again is what I meant.
Yeah, but all of my mama friends who also work, who had kids during the pandemic, they were like, breastfeeding during the pandemic is a different game than breastfeeding in the real world.
That's
it's
why I asked.
Hard as shit.
Yeah.
So that's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
But I would like to, because my boobs are huge.
I know.
Already.
Do you want to keep, if you don't breastfeed, do you lose the boobs? Yeah.
Right. Well, I thought they get bigger if you don't breastfeed.
No.
Oh.
They get bigger because of the milk coming in, and it's supply and demand, just like the real world, right?
Yeah.
The more it sucked, the more we got to get, you know? The more we got to make. So I'm trying to have balloons.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. No. I'm a bag of fun. No, 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 no. Anyway. Do you have any more questions about Vanderpump Rules?
No, let's move on.
Let's move on to ache and relief. Okay. Jess, you want to start us off? Jiu-jitsu queen.
Jiu-jitsu queen. My ache is my back, you guys. I don't know if it's age. I don't know if it's jiu-jitsu, but I got cupped the other day. I still have the marks.
Oh, okay.
And that was nice. And
cupping was a really in thing back in the day. In fact, A-list celebrities would do red carpets with cupping marks.
Stop.
100% they would. Google it.
Why
Google
just
it.
Back in the day? Did they find it didn't work or something? Or just the look?
I think that stylists were like, let's not show the back. Or maybe let's cup after the Oscars.
Okay.
Well, yeah, they would turn backless with all their cupping marks.
That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. I have to Google this. So I guess that's my relief, is that the ache is my back and I'm still working
on
it.
And the relief is her pussy and her crack.
One of the guys at Jiu-Jitsu said that
relief.
Today.
That is. Oh, you dirty dog.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, that's a relief. The scraping, the cupping, the massage will get better.
Okay. I love it. Easton, what are you aching and reliefing this week?
My ache is my sleep schedule is all shitty. I can't sleep. As you guys have seen.
What? Yes. What do you think it is?
I don't
anxiety?
Know.
Anxiety?
I wake up with a little anxiety, but it's not. It just goes away quick. I don't know. We're figuring out. We're dealing with it.
Yeah.
I slept great at your house yesterday.
What about edibles?
Well, that was a nap. That was a nap. 3 hours. You're probably sleeping at night for 3 hours and then waking up.
I'm getting 5, but that's what you get.
What, 5?
5 hours of sleep. Five and a half.
I need to add.
I need 6.
Yeah,
six
I need
and a half.
More.
But that's it. So I'm getting 5. So it's not like I'm not getting any sleep, but that is my ache is my sleep schedule. So I'm going about that and putting some structure in.
I love it.
And then my relief is, I don't know, just life. Just life.
Good. Yeah. Life is a good relief.
Life's good.
I love a good life relief.
Oh, good.
That's my relief. It's just life.
That's gorgeous. I love that for you.
That's gorgeous.
My ache is definitely the squirrel.
Yeah.
That was going to be mine, but I knew it was going to be hers.
Mm. Yeah. Thanks for letting me have it.
I'll let you have it.
That really tore out my heart and soul. I will say my relief is the reunion.
Your relief?
Getting it done?
Not even getting it done.
Or you did it.
I can't explain it. I think you guys will see what it was like. But when it was done and I accepted how everything had left and everything was left and kind of worked through it, it was like a giant elephant was lifted off of my chest. I was like, wow, I really, really lived in the deepest of my truths.
Good.
Hey,
yeah.
There
the weight
you
lifted.
Go. Yes. I can't wait to see it. I cannot wait. I've heard a little, but I cannot wait.
Yeah, no, I think you guys will really, really fucking enjoy it. Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. You guys, I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Give Them La La podcast. Remember, you can listen every Wednesday for the regular episode wherever you get your podcasts. And our YouTube video of the podcast drops Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And also remember, we have bonus episodes every Monday. The video and audio drops same day. You're welcome, and I will catch you next week.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band, like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.